Well, welcome, Beatico Baptist family, Pastor John and Miss Brittany, for our brand new podcast, Let's Talk About Sunday. Very excited to be starting this journey with my wife, my bride of almost 12 years, I think, something like that. And so glad you're here.
Yay.
Yeah. So the last several weeks, we were in chapter 5 on Sunday morning talking about the divine authority of the Son. And just from an apologetic standpoint, so there's a lot of people that will argue that Jesus never once definitively, you know, said he was God. And after going through chapter 5 of John alone, he says it several other times, but just chapter 5 alone arguably could be his greatest defense of that claim. Some thoughts on that. You have any thoughts on that, on Jesus and the divine authority of Jesus? So I know you were talking about, one of the things he says in the verses yesterday was, I come in this name. So I know you have something about that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I was like, wait a minute, don't put me on the spot. So that's something that stuck out to me was, what does it mean to come in somebody's name? Because, you know, I can say, I come in the name of Beatico Baptist Church, or I come in the name of whoever. Mm-hmm. And in the Old Testament times, to come in somebody's name meant that you were coming to represent all that was true about somebody. So in John 5, 42 through 44, he says, but I know that you don't have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name. So he's saying right there, I have come representing everything that is true about God, the person that you say that you love and worship, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, so if somebody else comes to you and boasts in their own knowledge of the law or how well they keep it, you will receive him. So how can you believe when you receive, wait a minute, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another, mm-hmm. and do not seek the glory that only comes from God? So it bounces off what you were talking about yesterday about how genuine faith is not self-glorifying. It seeks to glorify God.
Right.
But that was the problem, is that Jesus represents the character of God in his entirety. And people want to say, and I can't remember the name of this, like off the top of my head, maybe you'll know what it is, but there's a heresy that tries to paint God in two different pictures. Like the God of the Old Testament was mean, old, grumpy, get off my lawn, kind of. Yeah. And then in the New Testament, there's sweet, cuddly Jesus. And that's not it. Here, he is saying, I come in the name of my Father. I come representing God in his entirety, his character, his essence, his nature, everything. And you don't receive me.
Right.
But you're good with receiving each other, sinful people.
Right, right.
So, sinners. I mean, sinners. John Piper.
Yeah.
If you're listening, John Piper, that was the best ever from...
That was Gospel Coalition 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Anyway, but, you know, Jesus is God incarnate, second person of the Trinity, and yet the Jews still rejected him. Therefore, they were rejecting God, whether they knew it or not. And they were willing to accept each other and their authoritative voices on who God was, even mm-hmm. though they were sinful men, and glorify each other and their knowledge of the law.
Right.
But ironically, it just showed that they didn't know what they thought they knew.
Right. Well, and so a couple things, you know, you see this idea, this concept, not only biblically, but as you go throughout history, you see where like a messenger would come. And like, I'll come in the name of the king, or
right.
so on and so forth. And so this is not something that's, you know, a new idea or concept. It's something mm-hmm. that's been around for a long time. And so for Jesus to come along and say, I come in the name of my Father, I'm representing God because I am God. I know what he's like because I was with him.
Mm-hmm. And, now this wasn't like in my cross reference, but it also made me think of Exodus 20 verse 7. That's in the 10 words, the 10 commandments, mm-hmm. and the third commandment, I think it's the third commandment, says that, you know, we don't take the Lord's name in vain. You don't take God's name in vain.
Right.
Well, that's what they were doing. Mm-hmm. That's what the Pharisees were doing, because when we think of taking God's name in vain, we think, you know, don't say, you know, that,
right.
that
say,
word.
Don't say, oh my.
You know, but to take someone's name again, you are invoking the character of God.
Right.
You are invoking their nature, who they are, everything true about them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you act in a way contrary to that, you're taking his name in vain.
Right.
Whereas Jesus never could because he was perfect always.
Right. And I do want to talk just a little bit about the Pharisees. Something that kind of has occurred to me, I think, now look, the Pharisees, they deserve everything that was coming to them. But I also, for a lot, like, there's a part of me that kind of feels bad for them because they've been waiting for this promised Messiah. And now, you know, they know the history of when they were in exile and in Egypt and all this, that, and the other. And so now they're here, Rome's in control, and Rome's really not messing with them too much, but they still don't like, they don't like the Roman occupation, mainly because the Romans were pagan. And so their idea, and based off of Old Testament prophecy, was the Messiah is going to, you know, the government's going to be on his shoulders. And so they had this idea that that the Messiah was going to overthrow, you know, the Roman rule. You know, he's coming in on a white horse, all this, that, and the other. And Jesus didn't fit that mold.
Mm-mm.
Jesus came completely contrary to what they had perceived or how they had perceived what Jesus was supposed to be. And I believe even today people still do that. Even people that will say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God or whatever, whatever. They have an idea of who they think Jesus should be. But until you open up God's word and see who Jesus really is, yes, indeed, he does claim to be God. That's the one of the debates of today is that he never did. Yes, he does. He claims to be God at least seven times in the Gospel of John, if not more.
And I think that goes back to a problem with biblical literacy, Bible literacy.
That's fair.
Because if you, like going through John, so I went through John, like academically, several years ago, and all the connections that were made back to the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus is saying, I am the bread, I am this, that, and other, the different discourses, right? The Pharisees would have known what he was comparing himself to.
Yes.
So jumping ahead a little bit, we're jumping into chapter 6 next week, talking
chapter
about...
Chapter 6, the first 15 verses.
Yeah. But eventually we're going to get to I am the bread of life.
Right.
They would have known exactly what he was talking about because he was talking about or referencing back to Exodus, I think it's 16, maybe? It's 16,
yeah.
Numbers 11, somewhere in there, about the manna that came down, the bread from heaven.
Yeah.
And so they would have known exactly what he was talking about.
Well, even not to get too far into my sermon for Sunday, but when you see, because we're talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000, and there is a direct parallel between Jesus feeding the 5,000.
Numbers 11.
And then to the Old Testament where God provides the manna. It's a direct thing. And so once again, what you have, like I said, I don't want to get too far ahead of my sermon, but... Once again, you have Jesus proving that, no, I am God. I'm not just some guy in right relationship with God. I'm not just a guy that's found favor with God. I am God because I'm doing the same things he was doing, and I'm saying the same things that he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look to Jesus, he does have divine authority over everything because of who, just because of his divine nature.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I really enjoyed preaching through chapter 5. It took us 4 weeks to get through it, but I enjoyed it. So
we need to bring up about how Jesus wasn't the one condemning them,
right?
As far as you know, Jesus claiming to be God,
right there at the end.
Yeah, he said in verses 45 through 47, "Don't think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who does accuse you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope."
Yep.
"For if you believed Moses, then you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you don't believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" And let me tell you, I bet that burned their hide. I bet it did.
There's that South Alabama coming out.
Well, I mean, but think about it. This is these guys, that was their whole life.
Moses was their guy.
To know the law backwards and forwards, up, down, left, right, whatever. And then... Jesus just turns it all in their head. If you believed what Moses wrote,
then you would know who I am.
Yes, because I think it's in Deuteronomy 18:15, it's prophesied that there would be one that comes in the likeness of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And in the cross reference, that was talking about how that was a prediction sure. of Jesus
yeah.
coming.
Yeah.
And how later on in Hebrews we see that he is the true and better Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's crazy is that the whole law points to Jesus.
Right.
It points to a future hope for those in the Old Testament to set their hope on that God is going to once and for all send a way to redeem his people. So they're not having to go through all these rituals again.
Right.
But the Pharisees set their hope on the law,
mm-hmm.
not on the one who is coming to fulfill the law. That's and right. that's sad.
Yeah. Well, and so we said this, we were talking about this, I think, last week, how the Old Testament looks forward
mm-hmm.
to Jesus, where the New Testament looks back to Jesus.
Right.
And it makes this beautiful story of mankind and redemption and a good and fair, merciful God.
Mm-hmm.
And if Jesus, and I know I said this in the sermon 2 weeks ago, if Jesus isn't God, what was the point of him dying on the cross?
Mm-hmm.
There is no point to it. He's just another Jewish guy that the Romans crucified. There's no point in writing all this history about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then for generations upon generations, for Christianity to still be, you know, thriving in certain parts of the world,
mm-hmm.
it's phenomenal. But that's because this story is alive and it's active because Jesus truly was and is the Son of God. He mm-hmm. is God.
Right.
So, so as we continue to explore this podcast a little more out and see how it works, I really don't have much of anything else to add, unless you do, Miss Brittany. I don't know.
I don't think so. My brain's a little scrambled from trying to homeschool two of them this
right,
day.
This right. Morning. That's a new journey, new adventure. But Bedeco Baptist Church, we love you guys. We're so thankful to be able to serve you in the capacity that I do. And of course, Miss Brittany is getting ready to teach a new women's life group class at some point, and on how to study the Bible. And so we really look forward to what God's doing here. For anyone that's not a Bedeco Baptist Church member, we still love you. It's all good. But we look forward to speaking next week. We love you. God bless.